All right, welcome to the evening session. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we would truly know you in the way that we've expressed in the words of this song. And we pray for this church, dear Father, that we might discover the principles of personal revival. So in these days of a great falling away, a lot of widespread spiritual dryness, we might truly be an oasis in the desert. So Lord, we just pray that you'll help us with this wonderful gift you've given us of music to use it aright and to not abuse it. We pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding and help us to be content with the parameters that you've given for us to work within. So bless our musical team, we pray, for them, for those who minister on instruments and woodwinds and all the various instruments, dear Father, and for those, dear Father, who lead in the singing, we just ask that you'll help them, dear Father, to have the real joy of the Lord as they minister and prepare the hearts of the people for the word of God and above all else to glorify you. So bless these closing sessions, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just play you a clip. This is the philosophy shot, okay? Our background, I was saved in the Church of Christ in the days when they were preaching the gospel. My wife was saved at Murray Wilkes' camps in Victor Harbour. And so we thank the Lord for saving us. And through a whole lot of series of different breaks and separations, I just thank the Lord for parents and those who knew it was time to leave a failing church and to strike out and to trust God to revive. Without those separations, we wouldn't be here. My grandfather was saved in spite of the Methodist Church through a Church of Christ minister's ministry. And the Church of Christ went more and more modernistic. We had to leave that and started a more interdenominational thing. And then that rose to troubles. We ended up in America at a Bible college in the middle of the Bible Belt in Springfield, Missouri, in Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri. We were wet behind the ears. We didn't know what we were getting into over there. But we were sort of gobsmacked with 3,000 students attending that independent Baptist school. And they came from all around the states and some from overseas like us. And it was a wonderful time studying there because the emphasis was on very much on reaching out, soul winning, planting New Testament churches. So there are many, many churches we could look to in those days that were wonderful examples of people who went out on visitation and were doing the job and getting people saved. Wonderful music ministries, conservative, good, but optimistic and very powerful music ministries. The High Street Baptist Church, I think, had about 150 voice choir, plus whenever they wanted the ensembles, they would have those as well. And wonderful music, but took you to the gates of heaven. And so it's hard for me to understand now that out of that college came many, many students that went out and started churches. And we unconsciously modelled after the High Street Baptist Church. We admired very much the what the graduates were doing on the mission field. There was the Baptist Detroit Church, Temple Baptist, and they were running 6,000 people and a tremendous mission program, wonderful music ministry. High Street, we were running 3,000 or 3,000 people every Sunday, 22 buses in town, and it was just so exciting to be part of this. One of the graduates that went out from our school was Jerry Fall. And Jerry Fall went to hometown Lynchburg, Virginia, and I think started with a split off some church, and it mushroomed very, very quickly in the most amazing way. And it seems that Jerry was really getting the job done, which I believe he was at that stage, and many people being saved, and just an amazing mushroom church. And it kept growing. And but then people started to get a bit worried about Jerry. So I don't know, Jerry's music is fraying at the edges. And the end result was that you'll see this downward progression in these three clips that comes up now. The church that size has deteriorated to the point where they have jettisoned many of their standards. Now, Frank Garlock is the granddaddy of the Majesty Music Group, and the hymn book that we're using at the moment has been very faithful in plugging away from his original long playing record, the Big Beat, where he was exposing the errors and the problems of rock music, and had a tremendous conservative effect upon the independent movement there. He sort of passed on, but he's made this warning, and I can't give you the exact verbatim, but it said this. Basically, he said, when a church adopts CCM, it's only a matter of time and they'll lose all their standards. And you'll see this in this clip in a moment, and then I'll explain some of the slide that this amazing church took. Staggeringly so, one of the mother churches of a lot of this was the Detroit Baptist Church, running 6,000, and I've got a clip of that too. I don't know whether I've got the stomach to show you, but it's just like looking into a discotheque now. It's just a staggering slide. So can we just have this first one and see what Jerry Falwell was up to with his music? You see, from good positive music for a start, then we just see the introduction of a tiny amount of rock beat coming in, and then you'll see what happened when I got this off a Sunday morning service some years ago. Coming up. Thank you. too much. Okay. So what I was saying there was, who was right? Because our preachers were saying, I don't know about Jerry's music, right when it started to go a little bit on the edge. Others were saying, we shouldn't judge him. He's doing a great job. So who was correct there? Those that discerned it or those that were defending him? So it's a very sad and tragic demise for church. And when you look at what they did, they took the name Baptist off the Liberty College, called it Liberty University. Their dress code changed. their Bible versions changed. Now, Jerry was one of the first that pushed the NKJV. And in those days, we didn't know whether it was going to be the successor of the KJV or not. And it was good that we didn't embrace it. And then when I looked on the site here, on this on their website at the time, this is about 5 years ago at least, probably this was done, I find that a lot of their materials now is in the NIV, which has some very serious blatant omissions in it. So it just, it's a downhill thing. So it could take you. So the question is, was Frank Garlock correct in his prediction of any church? And the answer is yes. When a church adopts CCM, it's only a matter of time and it will throw over all its distinctive separation stands. So with that, I want to encourage you as a church to be on the alert and to be faithful to the Lord. It's a heart matter, and to give your music to the Lord and to dedicate yourself to using you, particularly musos. It's interesting, I've been reading the book of Chronicles, because Chronicles, someone said, is the revival handbook of the Old Testament. Chronicles. It's a very good description. And it's so important that we keep the gates right. And I noticed that in the gatekeepers and the songsters are very close together. So much so that Obed-Edom gets a mention in both, and someone's saying, well, maybe there's another Obed-Edom. But I thought, well, maybe not. Obed-Edom was there with his 86, I think he said 86 about of his descendants, or his descendants were there when the Solomon Temple was built. And he was the man where the ark ended up in his house for 7 months. And out of that, his house was greatly blessed. And they were keeping guard over the ark in their home, the ark of God, where the Ten Commandments were, that period, and became the natural gatekeepers for the temple services, to guarding all the gates and the security. And I thought the gatekeepers, I think in many ways, I think you as musicians also are gatekeepers, because that's where very much the attack comes. You can see on these churches here, and if the musicians know what their own conviction is, so no, we're not going to be a part of this. We're sticking to the clean music that our nation or our churches have been enjoying for generations. So, having said that, that's where we are. So that's the shot for tonight. Okay. I would like to help the pianist again, but not necessarily having it come forward. But if we could go to page 3 of the hymn improvisation section, that's the back section of your notes. I've been using Fairest Lord Jesus as an example of what you can do with improvisation, and then scoring out what the results are, so you can see what we're doing as a okay. Now, those who want to see the whole hymn, it's where is it now? Fairest Lord Jesus, a number, please. That's all right. 162, thank you. 162. Okay, there's no anacrusis. Okay, so there we have this piece of music. It's in voice parts, and that was new to me when I first had that pointed out to me, and somebody said that to me this morning. All these years I've been trying to master my head, never knew that it was arranged for voice. Because it's arranged for voice, you find there's a lot of notes on the page, because the tenors and the basses and the altos also have to sing the syllables. So if you don't have them all in black there, they're not going to sing. So these are all voice parts. But it becomes very stilted for the pianist. So you will be able to leave out a lot of those repetitions, because they're not needed for your accompaniment, and that'll give you more flowing sound. So if I was to even take away even most of that, I could actually... Okay, so going through what we've done so far, first of all, we tried to impress upon you the need to be able to read and read and read. If you're young and got time, I'd say take a new hymn every day and really master this, so that you have three notes in the right hand. We've got an E flat, a B flat, and a G. And then where we get that E flat, we put a simple octave. So, and we learn to play that in that form all the way through. Notice I'm going to leave out some of the notes now. So there's all four there. All four there, but just the melody, the soprano. If it moves, you've got to play it. So leave out what you can. If it's obviously there's a part moving, you have to play it. But if it's repeated, like there, rest, you just have to, just the one note. So that puts quite a broad sound on it. That alone would help you with your congregational playing. You can get everything in that form, octave on the bottom and the three notes in the right hand. So looking at our notes here, you can see what we've done on page 3. The right hand plays the F, C, A, and then the left hand plays as an octave the bass line. Different key, this is in, this one's an F, okay. Okay. So that's that bit. So we've actually, and then when we get to the point where you've got, you can't reach a note, which is, I'll go back to hymn book for that, sorry. This one here's a problem. G there that I can't reach with my right hand. So what do I do with it? I put it up an octave, and it finally comes right in the middle of your hand there. I can't reach this one without doing a glissando quality. That C there, middle C, I've got to put it up an octave right there. Actually done. The bottom page 3 is in F. I didn't realise the different keys. The mental process effectively put the hymn in the following form. So I've actually scored out what I did. And you can see now this is quite different. I haven't left out the superfluous notes, but there we go. So I just want to go through those notes, top of page 4. Practice playing hymns in this form until the mental process becomes automatic. Take the hymn book and practice modifying a different hymn each day for 3 months. Do not score your hymns, but develop the mental ability to read four-part vocal arrangements in this piano form. A hymn that has been modified in this way will now be much more adaptable to further improvisation. And then point 5 there, loosen the rigidity of this form by leaving out notes that are unnecessarily repeated. The congregation has to sing every syllable of the voice parts, but the keyboard player does not need to laboriously repeat all the notes of each chord. These deletions are most readily achieved in a hymn where the chords are not changing. When bass notes stay the same, then the chord is very often unchanged and some of the repeated notes can be deleted. In Ferris Lord Jesus, the chords are constantly changing, but in this first measure, some unnecessary notes can be left out, and that's just what we did. I want to read on further. Improvising within the tonal framework. Variations needs restraining within the harmonic structure. So in other words, we're not going to go out of the harmonic structure of the hymn in certain conditions. One's when the vocals are carrying harmony parts. So if your vocals, your people in church, you want them to sing four-part harmony, it can sound beautiful. And I remember coming out of college and walking from between classes, and you could hear this beautiful four-part harmony coming out of the choirs, or it sounded like a choir, out of the upper room. Sometimes in the spring the windows are open. I said, what's that? Oh, that's just the Bible history meeting. They're just singing a hymn before they do their class. So they're all a cappella, but beautiful four-part harmony. So it develops the musicality for people to be able to sing like that. So don't pull the harmony around while people are singing parts. In congregational singing, some people enjoy singing harmony parts in the hymnal. If the church keyboard player is indulging in harmonic variations, then vocals will clash with the instrument and people will be discouraged from singing parts. Also, and this applies to your orchestra as well, when playing with another instrument or keyboard, such as an organ, if both organists and pianists are improvising with harmonies of the hymn, then clashes will be inevitable unless you can read the mind of the other player. Duo improvising can be fun if you know the other musician well and can anticipate the harmonic alterations, but perhaps such risks should not be taken in the worship service of the church. And thirdly, following on from that, when playing with other instruments, and you're doing this every Sunday, so basically most of your work, most of your improvising work, will be within the tonal framework and you won't want to change it. So that's important to realise. There are other cases when you can change the tonal harmony, and it's a lot of fun if you get into chords, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, of changing the actual tonal structure. You can actually, in some cases, you might put the verse in a minor key. Do 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 do. If you know what you're doing and you've got an organist and a pianist doing an offertory, it's very, very effective to put that verse about the seriousness of the Lord's death in a minor key and do it improvisingly. Some are smiling, some are looking anxious. Okay, so practice it first. So that is an advantage if you can do that. If you have the ability to change some of the harmony structures, it can make a nice background for someone like Glenn Weeks. How many know Glenn? Okay. He usually sings before he preaches, an evangelist, isn't he? And so he he will just throw me his musical, say, turn to 455 and away he go. So if I'm the sole pianist to help him and to back him, I may then start to indulge in harmonic changes, which actually can sometimes quite freshen up a hymn, an old hymn he's playing. So if you're just accompanying someone who's singing the solo or playing an instrument playing the solo line, you can use that more in the special situations. On page 5, passing notes can enhance bass and treble lines. A passing note, according to, I think it's the Grove Dictionary, or the Concise Dictionary, in part writing, a non-harmonic note that leads from one note to another in a single direction by conjunct motion. So to put it in layman's terms, it's filling in the jumps in your melody or in a bass line, which is also melodies, they're all melodies, with a scale pieces that would fill in the gaps. In theory, therefore, any interval that occurs in the hymn parts can be filled in with passing notes. Now, you can overdo it, of course. So start experimenting with small intervals that occur in the bass and treble lines. So, for instance, here, I'm going to play it straight out of the notes now. This is Ferris Lord Jesus. We can fill in those for the beginning. Sometimes it's appropriate, but it sort of lifts it perhaps a bit. Looking what we've actually done then. I didn't actually fill in the bass line, sorry. It's a bit heavy. Scored out. It's down the bottom there. I personally think that's a bit inappropriate down there, but that's the sort of idea you can do. So you're actually filling in from B flat to F. Run the bass. It's not so heavy when you've done the octaves. That's a bit. Okay. The idea of passing notes can further develop into larger scale passages. Theoretically, any two harmony notes may be used as a starting or finishing point for a scale passage, as the following example demonstrates. To execute these impromptu runs in the church service, the pianist will have to learn to quickly recognise the key for the scale passage from the surrounding chords and accidentals. So with the same hymn now, we can do actually find two harmony notes, which we've done here with the arrows. So we to go from a G . So you see that? It's easy to do. So that's filling in the runs, filling in the gaps to make it quite interesting. So if we were to notate what we've actually done on their heads. Etc. More advanced excursions. excursions. From these simple beginnings, more advanced excursions can be made with scale passages between harmony notes all over the keyboard. In other words, the limiting factor is going to be your technique and how fast you can run your scales or whatever you're doing there. This is particularly effective when there is another instrument playing a strong melody line for the congregation to follow. With the security of another instrument, such as an organ or trumpet, the pianist can be quite adventurous with the counter melodies. With a keen eye on the principal harmony notes of the hymn, the pianist begins joining them with passing notes and extended scale passages. For example, when a C, E, G chord, the one chord in C, is recognised in the portion of the hymn, then the pianist holds his breath, her breath, makes this ascending or descending scale passage towards one of those notes. If it looks as though the attempt that scale passage will not be accomplished in the time frame of the hymn, then a hasty retreat can be made to one of the principal harmony notes, namely the closest C, G or A. A lot of fun. Okay, but so be a little bit adventurous, but just be careful if you're not quite ready to put the congregation through it. To try it at home first. We've been looking at arpeggios, and the bass produces smooth flowing atmosphere, and we talked about never using that low third in the first octave of an ascending arpeggio. So hymn improvisation primarily consists of taking the four voice parts and spreading them across the keyboard to form an extended tonal framework. In this extended framework, further variations and ornamentation can be worked. One of the best ways to stretch the compass of the harmony is to use arpeggios. And then the following suggestions I think we have covered this morning. Never play the third in the first octave of an ascending arpeggio. If you've ever heard anybody use this ugly growling tone deep down the bass, you'll readily understand why the experts in harmony made a rule: never harmonise with the third in the bass. You may use standard fingering for arpeggios and simply omit the third in the octave at the bottom there. We'll leave that one out. That's standard fingering. Alternatively, you may commence the arpeggio with the scale grid 1, 5, 10. We did that with our people this morning. This may at first appear a stretch for the hand, but if the third finger is used, you might choose the second as a kind of centre pivot, and the wrist rocks high above the centre. The stretch of the tenth can be, I'll probably scribe out the word easily for some of you, can be accomplished. Practice these notes in every key as preparation for arpeggiating the hymns. So, there we go. Page 8, more extensive use of arpeggios on the left hand. The hymn Like a River Glorious. Broken chords make an attractive accompaniment. Broken chords in either left or right hands make an attractive accompaniment to the principal melody. Definition of a broken chord: the effect produced by performing the notes of a chord successively rather than simultaneously. That's a type of figuration related to the arpeggio. So we've got an example there of Lead Me to Calvary, but the right hand. From the right hand, just break them up. Mm-hmm. simple arrangement. Just break your cords up. And the extended use of the keyboard in order to accommodate more extended arpeggios and broken chords, the right hand may be raised an octave. We started doing that with our brave people that came forward because this is getting a bit close here. Space provided by moving the right hand up may also be used for duplicating triads in the left. That's a very simple thing. So if you've got a it's an E flat chord. In second inversion. You know what that is, don't you? Root, first inversion, second. So I can see this here now. If you just put an octave down there and duplicate the three notes you got in the right hand, you can actually see it. Choose the octave and play the. Well, I've got the three of the right. I'm just going to duplicate them. All right. Hope that'll help you to encourage you to develop in that way. This would be a very, very useful pianist. That's probably about as far as we're going to go tonight on for the pianists. Okay. So, how are we going for time? 15 minutes. What I'd like to do is to have the men, for a start, that do song leading, can't choose a hymn. Now, it doesn't have to be on this sheet. You can choose another one if you like, but this sheet does tell you where there's an anacrusis or where there's not. So I hope you've given a little bit of thought since this morning. And I'm sure that we can put this microphone on, can't we, in a minute? That'd be good. You can come up here, put your hymn book there, and lead us in the song, which we will sing heartily to support you, of course. So who should we start with first, Pastor? Brother Reese, okay. Start from best, from the back. Have you got a good hymn there, a Welsh hymn or something, brother? Now, we're going to critique Brother Reese. So, we're going to critique him gently and give him some feedback in a minute. It's a bit like preaching class. And you've got to have a bit of a tough hide, I think. This, they'll be pretty sharp, these people near. So,
too sharp.
Yeah, I know. So you want me to play for you? I can do it if you like. So you hold out the numbers and I'll... Is there a wire-bound book somewhere? Here it is. Keep jumping and stuff everywhere.
Let's do the 173. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Yeah. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His praise above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. Heart God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Just two. Okay.
Couldn't see that, but I'm in your hands now. Any positive comments for Brother Reese? Yes?
Very, very cheerful countenance.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's very important. Very clear hand movements. Good.
Eye contact.
Good eye contact. Great. Good. Anything you could improve on? His looks. That's not. That's what it was. Okay. So I didn't see. How was his hand movement? Stay high enough? Low enough? Good. So he had to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes?
Just at times. His hand moves in front of his body. Maybe half the time. To me, that he needs to keep them out there.
Okay. One lady says she thinks that your hand movements should be further out from the body rather than close into the body. Was the hand facing the congregation?
Not all the time. Sometimes a bit waving.
Icing the cake?
Just a little bit. A
little bit? Okay.
I think that's a pain. Could you?
All right. Thank you, Brother Reese. That was good. I enjoyed it. Yes, we had, how many beats in the anacrusis was there? That's one. That's a tricky part of it. So what should he have done, you think? All right, George would say one downbeat. Boom, dum, dum, dum. So that's a bit tricky. That is, he chose one with an anacrusis, so that makes it a bit more difficult. So you've got to basically beat that part, measure and get out of the way, and then you can do your pattern. Thank you. All right, who's next, Pastor?
Jeff Ruffle.
Jeff Ruffle? You got a hymn picked? I didn't say, are you hen picked? Have you picked a hymn? Good, okay. Jim, because I'm busy here playing. Okay.
Not sure yet. 235. Lead me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Let's put our heart and soul into this singing tonight, shall we? And keep your eyes focused on yourself. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid.
good. It's going to be hard to criticize these men. Okay, so what did he do right, Dan?
Everything.
Sorry?
Everything.
That's the wife. He's paid. This is the paid. Excellent countenance. Good. Looking like his what? Oh, are you serious? Did he have his hand in his pocket? He's looking, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps he was preparing for the offering. Okay, no, take hands out of pockets. All right, what about his hand movements, Daniel Weston? Not very well. I'm not wearing a tie.
Yeah, just one thing on the hand movements. The ones going away from his body were quite good, but the one coming in closer to him was quite small.
Yes.
So if you just come a bit further, it would just make it a bit clearer that it's 4-4.
Right, okay. Because
coming in was just only very slight and then going out, so that.
Right, okay. So you've got this compromise of not trying to put it in here, but you obviously need a little more scope there. Sorry? How was the up-down one?
Bit more
amplitude, is what you're saying? Bit shallow. Okay. What do you think, Charisse? You don't dare say, do you? We won't expect spouses to comment. Yes, sir? That's a good question. I think I could see him, yes. Did you think I was out of whack with him?
No, I just wanted to know if it's clear to you. It's more important to be clear to you in one sense.
Well, it's a good question. I was watching him from time to time, but whether I could actually say I was it's conscious in my peripheral while I was reading the notes, I'm not sure. I'll check when I do that next one. Yeah, we can. If you could put someone out here, Bianca, you ready to play? Okay, then. Just look at that. Dan Williams. Okay. There we go.
I don't actually have my wife here to pay my dividend off my. Okay, very good. We don't have to pick one
in here,
do we?
Oh,
so that was fine.
You don't have to. Okay. Anything in the book.
No worries. All right, let's turn to hymn 155, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Let's be upstanding as we sing this song this evening. 155.
The autumn. wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressing, greater far than all.
Excellent. All right. So, comments, please. The things you did right? Big arm movements? Yes.
Clear.
Clear. Clear what? When he spoke. That's good. Right. Yes. Yes, very good. That's right. Commanding. Yes.
You got the congregation singing well.
Yes, you did get the congregation singing well. That's true. That's good. Yes?
Big arm movements.
Yes.
But downstroke is more 45 degrees.
Yes. That's correct. You're tending to go out like this on the downstroke. Yes. Any other comments? Yes? No? Don't scratch your nose. Oh, Daniel. Yes. Yes, I picked it up. Anything else? Sorry? I don't know. Not quite sure what you're getting at. Not sure. Okay. Just a couple of comments. I don't know what the attraction is over here, but he was looking out like this. I began to worry what's over there behind that door. And I didn't see him with any contact to this side. It's a preacher can do that too, of course. I always get criticised for staring at somebody, and they think I'm the only one. They're only one in church, you know. Yes, it's like when you've got a very small congregation. I reckon it's always difficult because when the pastor gets up and says, "Dear beloved, the woman in the front row blushes," but so it's helpful when you've got a bigger crowd. So the other thing is, I'm not trying not to be picky, but you're a little bit standing like that. I'm exaggerating a bit. And you're a big fella. I'll put those big shoulders absolutely parallel here, and then you're ready. And don't be afraid to look at this side. But other than that, it was very good. Hand facing? A lot better. Okay, there you are. His adopted mum said is improving. So don't forget to tip the hand up, try and avoid anything that looks like this, but the hand up like that. And I know they used to say take a pencil, but that's almost a little bit effeminate, I think, for a fella. Just get your paws up like that, because that's what you see in the dark, is this here. Okay, you can't see that very well. Alright, that was very good. I think we might take a break, Pastor. Come back and we'll have a little more of that. We're trying to finish on a good note. Yes.